responding to the merciful love of God who loved us first. The sacrament is also called the sacrament of penance. Sounds like fun. Penance referring to the inner sorrow of the heart of the one seeking forgiveness. The inner sorrow of the heart of the one seeking forgiveness. Also called, as we just said, the sacrament of confession. Confession being the key act on the part of the one seeking forgiveness. If I do not confess, I cannot receive this gift. I cannot receive the embrace. The sacrament is also called, very commonly, the sacrament of forgiveness. What is imparted? The merciful love of God that heals our hearts. And finally, as we've been saying from the outset, the sacrament of reconciliation, which is a wonderful consequence and result of being forgiven. Okay, that's fine and dandy, but I think we need to really get down to things here and ask the really big question. Let's go for the jugular. Why must I confess my sins to a priest? All right, try to answer that one. Why must I confess my sins to a priest? Does it not make an already difficult thing almost brutal? Does it not seem to hinder us in the movement of our heart? And of course, what if you get a really grumpy priest who starts probing, which will set you back to negative square two? Totally counterproductive. Moreover, the question is relevant because James in his epistle, chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins one to another, with no seeming explicit reference to the priests of the community. One to another, just sort of wander the streets and just confess your sins. Guess what? Did this. Hey, juicy, huh? Let me tell you about this. Well, I found in Thomas Aquinas, in his Summa Theologica, a response to that particular question regarding this passage from James. And he says quite simply that by the time James wrote this, he had in mind what the community had in mind, and that was that Jesus had instituted a sacrament of reconciliation. And so it was understood that the another to whom we confess our sins were the ministers of the community. It was already understood by the time James composed this. Okay, we, of course, in retrospect, don't think of that, but we need always to contextualize so as to understand things correctly. So James is simply admonishing the community to confess to its ministers, to the priests of the community. Of course, in trying to answer the question, why do we confess to ministers when it seems to be so problematic, we ultimately, of course, trust the discernment of the church. I mean, it has to be stated. We trust the discernment of the believing community in communion with its shepherds regarding both the scriptures, which, as we said before, emerged from that community, which discerned what became part of the scriptures, and the sacraments, and therefore the sacrament of reconciliation. But it does help, I think, to understand the fittingness, why Jesus would go that route, why it does make sense that Jesus go that route, to reconsider a little bit the mystery of the church, so that we be a little less freaked about going to ministers to confess our sins. The mystery of the church, the body of Christ, as we've said before. The church, once again, is you and me, all of us, bound by this love that Jesus bestows so abundantly upon us as brothers and sisters. So the same love that binds us to Christ binds us to one another. Keep that in mind. It's paramount to see why it does make sense, maybe, that we have to go through ministers. Or that to experience forgiveness in the most intimate way, we go through ministers. The same love that binds us to Christ binds us to one another. Consequently, our sin not only affects our relationship with God, but guess what? It affects our brothers and sisters, whether we can tangibly measure the effect or not. When we fail to love, it affects the whole body. A lot of responsibility we have, huh?